Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
I had a really pretty sermon ready to go as we were talking about the I Am from my buddy's book, Joel Osteen, and the I Am sermon. We're kicking that off, and we're in a series with that, and I had it all done, and then the Lord spoke to me and said, man, that's a pretty sermon. I hate to do this to you, but you're not going to preach that one. So he spoke to me these words, and he said, I want you to preach, you can't surprise God. So let's all shout that, you can't surprise God. If you're having a surprise birthday party for God, forget it. He's going to find out about it, okay? You can't surprise God. Anybody in here ever had a surprise birthday party, but somebody told you about it and you had to act surprised even though you were not surprised? Come on. Don't lie in church. You know who you are. Surprise. God's never said, uh-oh. God's never looked over and said, Holy Spirit, Jesus, what are we going to do? God's never said, oh, my God. What? I had no clue this was going to happen. See, you can't surprise God. But in the middle of that unexpected surprise that you have that happened to you, God can surprise you. I'm talking about you were surprised that the tumor was there. You didn't know it. You were surprised that they divorced you. You were surprised that they left. You're surprised that they betrayed you. You're surprised, surprised, like Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise, surprise. But you can't surprise God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knew it was coming way before it was going to happen. And that's why he said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. That's why he said, fight the good fight of faith, because he knew that there was going to be a fight to this thing. And let me say, while you are being surprised by this situation that you never thought was going to happen to you, you didn't think at this age this was going to happen. God already, the waymaker, he already figured out the exit plan for you and the strategy. And he said, I'm going to work this thing together for your good. In other words, it's going to be so pretty on the other surprise end of this thing that the only one that's really going to be surprised is the devil. He's going to go, I don't know how God did that. I don't know how in the world that happened. But God turned that thing around for the good of those that love Christ Jesus and are called according to. I wish I had somebody to help me in here today. Surprise! God ain't never been surprised. You can't surprise God. You can't scare God. He knows everything. He's full of surprises himself. They're good surprises. We know that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus said, I have come. Kind of like Michael. Jesus said, hey, all this is going on, but Dad's going to show up and let you know that I'm in control of this situation. It's just didn't surprise me. If you think about the story in the Bible, you know, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they got the surprise of their life when they were told that they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. True biblical account. King Nebuchadnezzar was torturing them today, just like a modern-day ISIS, where Christians are getting their head cut off, and you won't come to church when it's raining. But anyway, that's a whole other situation. And somebody said, well... So Nebuchadnezzar said, soak it up seven times hotter than it's ever been before. In fact, the guys that were throwing them in, they died. The heat was so hot, it killed them. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been talking about how good God is, and he works all things together for our good, and the Lord is with us, and we're on divine assignment, appointment. We're equipped, we're qualified, we're anointed and appointed. And then all of a sudden, they're like, God, we're getting kind of surprised right now, because it'd be a real good time for you to show up, because it's getting real. It's getting hot in here. Come on, Nelly fans. A little bit of And then they wind up in the fire. I'm sure they were thinking when they tied their hands and their feet with these ropes, you got to be kidding me. God, I'm surprised. I'm scared. I feel betrayed. I don't know what to do. God, what are you doing? And God was allowing the fire that they were going through to create something on the inside of them. And it began to burn the very shackles that they had been shackled with off of them. And that's where the song came from. Put the shackles on my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise him. Come on. They're in there, and it's burning up. Now they're scared. They're surprised because we had no guarantee. All we had was faith. And all of a sudden, God shows up in the fire. Sometimes we want God to deliver us before the fire, but sometimes he shows up in the fire to use the test as a testimony. Can I get an amen up in here today? I'm talking about the thing you're going through right now. You're going to go through it. Everybody shout, I'm going through. Shout it, didn't surprise God. Look at your neighbor and say, didn't surprise God. Look at him and say, your breath just surprised me. Though. Didn't surprise God. King Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, did we throw three in there? They said, yeah. He said, why I be seeing four? And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And Jesus is in there like, yeah, yeah. Got his WWJD bracelet on. Stands for what would Joel do, right? I mean, like, oh, yeah. I come to find out all big preachers, if you want to be a good preacher, you got to have a J name. Joel, Joyce, Jakes, Jesse. Come on, somebody ought to say, yeah, I can only be so big with a David. So he said, did we throw in four? He said, yeah. He said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And they open it up, and here comes Shadrach. Here comes Meshach with some swag and Abednego. And then here comes Jesus with it by himself. Say, yeah, I delivered him in the fire. And they had a testimony that we're preaching about today because you can't surprise God, but God can surprise you in the middle of your fire. Come on, somebody ought to help me. I said, you can't surprise him. He didn't freak out. He delivered them because he is a deliverer. He delivered the people of God each and every time they cried upon the Lord. He gets pleasure out of taking bad situations and turning them around for your good. So what I want you to do is begin to renew your mind through the Word of God so that you're not so freaked out by the surprise. Like, I'm surprised. Like with me, it's no surprise to me that I'm going to have a little bit of heaven and a whole lot of hell because I'm out there kicking all the time. Boom, 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 boom. We started that. It was on like Donkey Kong 11 years ago when we went on television and didn't ask for any money. And we took a church of 200 people and it grew to 2,000 in 2 years. And most of them were strippers because they were watching us in the middle of the night. And our church started filling up with strippers. And people walking in there, little skirts, little flirt skirts coming in. And they're walking in. One male stripper, they'll tell you, he walked in and he had a big old beer bottle about 4 foot high. And it was his money. And he was bringing it to the altar. And the religious people that my daddy had raised, they were going, what are we going to do? And I said, this is exactly what we want. A church should be full of strippers. It should be full of cocaine people. It should be full of attorneys. Come on now. A good, healthy church is full of sinners and saints. When we did that, that's when the devil said, oh, it's on now. And some of you might be saying, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that. Come on. The devil's greatest ploy and plot is to try to get you so edumacated that you think there is no devil. There is a devil. There is a heaven. There is a hell. But there is one big God that is behind the scene working this strategy to bring you out so you don't even smell like smoke. When they came out, the Bible said, I didn't say it, the Bible said they didn't even smell like smoke, which is more than I can say for a third of our constituents. People ask me all the time, can you go to heaven and smoke? And I'm like, yeah, you just beat the rest of us there, but you can get to heaven and smoke. Who I feel sorry for is a cigarette because it's got fire on one end and a sucker at the other, but that's a whole nother thing. I'm saying when they went through the fire, it didn't take God by surprise. Remember in the book of Acts, there was a guy named Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. We knew him first as Saul. He persecuted the church. He would hold down Christians with that ISIS program. And then he was riding his donkey, and the Lord knocked him off his donkey and smote him blind. I like to say that Saul turned into Paul. God hit him so hard it knocked the S off and put a P on it. It just, boom, he could see. And then all of a sudden he said, I have done no man wrong, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I was such a lawgiver and such a religious people that I was using the law to kill people, but now I understand by grace are we saved, and not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So I'm not going to try to go through the law. I'm going to go through grace, and now I don't get what I deserve, but I get what Jesus deserves. And so he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, old Paul did. But Paul was looking for a posse. He was looking for some people to hang with him. He's like, hey, I want somebody to go with me to plant these churches, to do something. So he had a guy named Silas. He said, Silas, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun and travel and adventure, and we're going to eat out, and we're going to drive through Chick-fil-A, and it's going to be a good time. But notice, he didn't tell him about, but we're probably going to go to prison, and they're going to beat us, and they're going to hit us, and it's going to be hard. How many know you can't get people to join a church like that? You got to say, we're going to point the finger at you, not this way, but this way. Come out, we're going to make you feel right at home. Because you're going to go through hell anyway, so why not go through it? See, some people live in hell. We just pass through, going, oh, I walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, yeah, I, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It'll be formed, but it won't prosper. So now Paul and Silas, they're surprised. They're in jail. This wasn't on the schedule. I didn't get an update in my Google about this appointment with jail. Silas looks at Paul and says, what? We're here. I'm in handcuffs. And you're in handcuffs. And our feet are, we're in prison. Paul looks over at him and says, you got to shut up. They've locked up our hands and they've locked up our feet, but they haven't locked up our mouth yet. But if you keep talking smack like that, they're going to put duct tape on our mouth. But if our mouth could be open, we can get out of this, because I can get us out of this if they don't shut my mouth. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And yes, we are surprised and we're pressed on many sides, but yet we're not giving up. And I'm telling you right now, God works all things together for our good. And what shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Height, death, things present, things to come. You got to just start praising God, not for what you just right now you're freaking out, Silas, about what we're going through, instead of focus on what we're going to go through. And this didn't surprise God. And the Bible said that they sang praises, they'll put it up for you, at midnight. I could preach right there. I said at midnight. Everybody shout at midnight. That means it is dark. Doesn't look like anything's going to happen. Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And everyone that was bound, they were freed, because all of a sudden God couldn't take it anymore. They were surprised. They were in chains, and God said, I got a surprise for you. And the prison begins to quake. And the walls began to fall down, and the stocks and the bonds that held them captive, they fell off, and they came out praising and magnifying God. And not only were they delivered, they had all the other prisoners walking out with them. You may be in a prison right now of addiction, of alcoholism, of crack cocaine. You might be high right now, and I'm funny when you're high. These people here, if you can make sober people laugh on a Sunday morning, I know you're cracking up right now. I tell you, I am telling you that God will take the situation that surprised you, and he will turn it around for your good, and he will use the test for a testimony. You might be called to preach. One thing I know you are called to, though, is a blessed life, free from this addiction, trying to fill up your life with unsatisfactory objects when God wants to fill you with the Spirit. So this thing isn't about you. When Paul and Silas got free, it wasn't about them. I have a question for you. When you look at a group picture, who's the first person you look for? Come on, don't lie to me. You know who it is you're looking for. You. Because I know something about you. It's all about you. You ain't worried about how I look. Does my butt look big in those jeans? Am I sucking it in up here? You're looking for you. You know who you are. It's all about you. But in this situation, this surprise wasn't all about you. The enemy and the enemy has been fighting you so hard, because God knows and the devil knows you're so close to your breakthrough. He will try to discourage you, to get you to break down, when you need to just keep on trucking. Come on, somebody ought to help me. You need to say, hey, I'm surrounded by adversity. I didn't see this coming. I don't have the money. The checkbook looks negative. My kid looks crazy. The husband God gave me is lazy. I don't know what to do. I'm about to go crazy, but instead of going crazy, you go crazy, and you go, oh God, I just thank you, Lord, that you're about to surprise me. You're about to bring me out with a shout. God, you're about to turn this thing around for me. I'm just excited. Turn on the pointer sisters and say, I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to. You only get that at faith church. Come on now, ain't no church in the world. Just get, you tell me. Who was singing the Pointer Sisters today? You get surprised. But in the middle of the surprise that you didn't see coming, God has the surprise. God's like, surprise? I'm here. My dad was a cop, yeah, with an attitude. I love my dad, but he was mean. He grew up mean. His dad was mean to him, so he's mean to everybody. His dog, like, it didn't have fleas. His dog had hornets. This guy was just mean. I love my daddy, but he's mean. Anybody know people like that? My dad was one of those guys that you see in the movies that he says, "What are you looking at? What you looking at?" He just did. It was just the way he was. And on more than one occasion, I got my mouth got me in trouble. Come on, y'all know it's true. Go ahead. You know it is. I know it's a pastor's appreciation month and all, but you just know my mouth. I was writing checks. I couldn't always. I didn't have enough money in my account. But I always knew that my dad loved me, so I might talk smack and realize I was in trouble. I remember one particular occasion, this guy in our neighborhood, he was giving me all kinds of trouble. I was about 11 years old. I was riding my mini bike and doing what I was doing, and he was talking smack, and I had told my dad about it before, and then all of a sudden, my dad walked around the corner of the garage at the time that this old man was up in my face. And all of a sudden, my dad pulled me aside, and I started looking on the other side of the road. And my dad told him, "Don't you ever punk that kid again. This is a free country. I bought him that mini bike. He's riding on this street. It is not a public street. It's a private street." And he told him all kinds of stuff. And I looked around him. I'm like, "Tell your mama too." But then I did go back over there, and my dad said, "Listen here, boy. You respect that man. You respect your elders. And I was tired of him punking you, but the deal is you're not going to ride on that street anymore." And I thought you told him. I said, "Well, we always say you shut up." Anybody know about this? Some of y'all don't know nothing about this. That's your problem right now. You don't know nothing about this. My dad would whip me for stuff I didn't even do. My dad would be walking through the mall and some little kid be jacking around and he'd be like, "Let me tell you what I'd do to you if you ever did that. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you what, come here, come here." And he'd get himself so worked up, I'm like, "I didn't do nothing. I would just want some Jello pudding pops. That's all I really want. No, come here, we're going to the car right now. I'll tell you what I'd do to you." And then he was one of those guys that would hit you with the belt while he was talking to you. "Don't ever, you, come on somebody, ever do that. Stop it. You made me hit myself. You better not make me hit me. I hit you back. Stop it. I'm sorry. People thought I had the Holy Ghost. But can you imagine how jacked up I'd be if he hadn't done that? Sometimes in life, you need a preacher to look at you and say, "You can't stay home and watch Joel and Jesse and me on television when God said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. A church alive is worth the drive. You need to bring your little backside and your cray-cray kids to church so God can do a work on the inside of you, because ISIS is out there. The devil is out there to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he's got a surprise. But when you've been to a church that believes..." Come, somebody ought to help me today. You're like, "God's got his own surprise." Don't you be messing with me. I'm the baby. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm the baby." Look back and say, "You got to quit talking to me, man. You got to." Now, here's the deal. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes, you have may have life. But information gives you power. Now, check this out. This is Mark, the fourth chapter. This is Jesus' literal sermon. It's red. Jesus preached this. Here's what he said. How many of y'all are interested in seeing what Jesus had to say? You heard what I had to say. You laughed your butt off, but now you got to hear what Jesus had to say. Jesus said, "Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell among the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. It fell on stony ground and immediately sprang up because it had no depth." It had no depth. Wayside had no depth. A lot of times in life, people are too shallow. "I like her because she's pretty. Will you like her later when she has breast cancer? I like her because she's hot. Will you like her when she has your kids? She doesn't look like she did 20 years ago. Hey, shallow how, you don't look like you did 20 years ago. That's why God dims our vision. It's a beautiful thing. You're like, she's still sexy when I don't have my contacts on. That's the plan. Don't be shallow." But see, in the word, a lot of people are surprised. They freak out and they go to other items besides Jesus because they get surprised and they don't realize that God has a surprise of his own. They're shallow and they fall by the wayside. They receive the word with gladness and go, "Oh yeah, I'm going to become a Christian and everything's going to be awesome." It's kind of like you did when you got married. "I found this great guy and we're going to live together. We're going to do it." I'm gonna kiss her when I want. And then she's like, not today, you ain't. And then you did it. Now you got three kids, won't even let you sleep in the bed. They're up in the middle of your deal. I'll tell you, life doesn't always turn out exactly the way your idealistic movie plot ends. I want to die in the bed with you like they do on Notebook. She's looking at you like, not if I don't bust a cap up in your head before I do. But if we're shallow in our thinking and we're surprised because bad things happen to good people, yeah, life's hard. Life's difficult if you go at it alone. But if you go at it with greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, I walk by faith and not by sight. God surrounds the righteous with his favor. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is a shadow that is looming. Shadow ain't never killed anybody. It's a shadow of death. It's a shadow of surprise. It is meant to scare you. Instead, let it deepen your roots and say, hey, I'm going to be the type of person that hears the word and it falls on good ground. Verse 8, they'll put it up there. Survey says. It says that, but other seed fell upon good ground. Shout, good ground. Shout, that's me. And it yielded a crop and it sprang up and it increased. Notice God is into increase. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I don't want you to live your life at a 30% range.
I got 30% of my life. I'm a 30%er.
I don't want you to live at 60%. I mean, I want you to be an on, like Donkey Kong kind of guy. Like, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. If you're going to be a Christian, be a sold out, not a, I pencil God in, and then sometimes all the kids have Little League. The kid doesn't need to go to Little League. The kid, like, he going to be a pro ball player. No, he ain't. He going to be in prison if you don't bring his butt to church. I'll tell you right now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. I wanted a professional preacher. You came to the wrong church. I don't like professional politicians. I don't like professional preachers. I want people that are organic and raw that are going to tell you the truth, because the truth will set you free. You got to go to church. Somebody, I ain't even going to. You get it. Now, you're going to want to go to church when you get surprised. God, I promise to God, if you deliver me for this, God, I promise you right now, I will do whatever I got to do, God. Just get me to church. You come up to church, you're like, I came for four Sundays in a row, and I got the bulletin as a receipt. I have been to church. It's going to take more than that. You can't be shallow, because the surprise is coming. How many of y'all live long enough to know there's a surprise coming? Now, we don't want faith in the surprise. It's just going to happen. But we want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has his own surprise wrapped up in a surprise. It's like back in the day, remember when you bought cereal not for fiber? Come on, raise your hand right now. You know who you didn't buy it for fiber. You bought it for the toy that was inside, because you'd walk down and say, Captain Crunch got a toy in there and I want that. But then again, Frosted Flakes is really good too, and I kind of want that. But you bought it, not for the fiber, you bought it for the toy that was inside. I'm telling you, God is much like that. God said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine. I'm going to work all things together for your good. Yeah, Joseph, you're going to go to the palace, but there's a whole lot of pits. Not Brad Pitts, bad pits. There's a whole lot of pits on the way to your palace. That's why you can't get surprised by the surprise, because the surprise is coming. But the surprise on the inside of that box called the Bible, from Genesis 1 to Revelations 22 and 21, is saying, if God be for you, who and what can be against you? Somebody help me right now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are promises. If you're shallow, you're like, I watch Joel. I love Joel. I even do that thing where he says, I never like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive. That's awesome. I love Joel. Joel is my friend. We're buddies. I eat at his house. I'm on the board. I love Joel. But it's not enough to watch Joel and deny Jesus. You and your family have to get up, go to church, because you got to show up to grow up. Everybody shout, you got to show up to grow up. The Bible said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question here today at this campus, and and our television audience today, how many of y'all would say that there are several things today that spoke directly to your heart and you felt like it was to you and you're glad that God preempted this sermon? God, I pray for our friends and family here at Faith Church and our friends around the world that are watching, God, that you began a good work in them and you are able to complete it. God, today as they heard the word of God that went in their heart and they laughed and they got encouraged, God, let them know that they are not going to fall by the wayside, that they're going to be a 30, 60, and 100-fold person, and they're going to be 100% in the will of God, and they will have the best life they ever, ever, even beyond their dreams, because they put you first. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Come on, give God praise today. Woo! Come on, stand up with me for a minute. I went to pull up my belt, but my belt, it's not really in there. Shout something good.
Something good
is about to happen to me.
I'm blessed coming in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm
highly favored.
And
the Lord loves me.
I'm excited
about what the Lord is doing. In me,
through
me,
and for me.
The devil said, what?
Not today.
I'm not discouraged.
I'm encouraged.
And I encourage myself.
I'm happy
with
the way God
is designing my future.
I'm not worried.
I'm not wondering.
I'm excited
because the Lord,
He's
on my side.
He's working
on the backside
to bring me
forth
as a
vessel of honor.
In Jesus'
name,
amen.
Come on, give God.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.